Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is, Wednesday night again. The first Wednesday of the new year, 2015. You know, as always, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to come to you guys every Wednesday, week after week, while we explore the Word of God together. And it's our Bible study, Inspirational Wednesday. I'm your host, Diane Adams. And I pray that each and every one of you had a great start in the new year. But as we learned last week, you know, there's nothing mystical about 2015. There's nothing mystical about December the 21st. It's a year going out and one coming in. But what can be done is we can decide to be better in the new year. And as we studied on last week, we saw that the commandment that God gave as far as the commandments when he was asked about which was the best commandment of the Ten Commandments, and Jesus told his disciple, he summed it up in two, that we all should love the Lord thy God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And we all should love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, if we could do that in the new year, you know, we would be doing a lot. You know, if we hold on to that and try to set that as our goal, you know, we'll probably have success. But it's a pleasure to be with you guys. And I first have to give thanks to God for allowing me this opportunity to be able to come before his people Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday. And I am grateful, and I'm also honored. I'd like to thank each and every one of you who have taken the time out of your busy schedule to meet here once more and again. I see that the board is lighting up and the callers are coming in. For those who may be listening via internet, I want you to know that at the end of the program, if you would like to, at the end of the lesson, really, if you would like to make a comment, add something, give encouragement, ask for prayer, the number that's on your computer screen for the Words of Wisdom's Blog Talk station, you could call that number and you could press the one button on your phone and I will be able to open a mic and you'll be able to speak, and everyone will hear you. I want you to know that our lesson tonight is going to come out of the book of Romans. For those who have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to do two verses. We're going to talk to the 28th verse, and then we're going to skip down to the 31st verse in Romans, and that'll be our two verses that we're going to expound on tonight. But as always, I want to know if anybody would like to lead us off in prayer. If you press the one button on your phone, I can open a mic and you can lift us up in prayer. If not, I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer. I will play a song that I think it's appropriate, because our lesson tonight is everything will be okay. And then you might say, well, how you know that? Because God is working it out. Everything will be okay because God is working it out. Romans 8 and 28 and Romans 8 and 31. And I'm going to go ahead and lift us up in prayer right now. And once I get through, I will play a song that I think is appropriate, because the name of the song is God Has a Master Plan. And after that, we'll come back and we'll get into the lesson. And I have to say Happy New Year to everybody, because this is a new year. Happy New Year. So let us go into prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are love of our soul. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace tonight just to say thank you. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon every house that is represented that's listening on either by phone or on the internet, dear God. Bless them in the blessings that they're in need of, dear God. Bless their home, bless their finances, bless their children and grandchildren, dear God. Lord, I'm asking that you be with them and you guide them and you protect them. Lord, some is in need of one thing and some are in need of another. But, Lord, I know you able and you're willing to satisfy and take care of everything that people need to do. But, Lord, we know it's not our will, but it's your will. We know every request is not right now. It may be delayed, but it may not be denied. We know that some of the things we ask for, dear God, it may not be in your will or it may not be for us at that time, but we know you working it out. Teach us, dear God, how to trust you. Then we'll understand by and by who you are. Guide us, dear God, and protect us in all righteousness and truth. Lord, and we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have so many callers and came in since we gave the title and the scripture out. But I'm going to play this record, and when it's over, we'll go into the lesson, and I'll give the title again at that time. But the title of the song is God Has a Master Plan.
How you gonna
and that was God has a master plan. But those who have just called in, because the lights of the studio is lighting up more and more callers, and I'm thankful for that. But the lesson tonight will be everything will be okay because God is working it out. We're coming from Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse, and then we're going to go down to the 31st verse. As always, when I do a lesson, I always give a background or introduction on either the writer, the book, the place that it was being written, or maybe why it was being written. So we coming from the book of Romans, and we see that Paul is writing this in the book of Romans, and he was writing to the Romans, you know. But there's a lot that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. You see, far from ordinary, Paul was given the opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. But the story of Paul is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ and a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. However, to gain a full measure of this man, Paul, we have to examine his dark side. We have to see where he was before he met Jesus. We have to see what he was doing and how he was doing and even why he was doing it. You see, Paul's early life was marked by a religious zeal. And I say zeal because he practiced the religion of Judaism. And for those who know, Judaism was a religion practiced by the Jews, and they, well, let's just say it like this. Even today, they are still waiting for the Messiah to come. They didn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. And back then, in Paul's days, when someone was being a Christian and they was accepting Christ as the Savior, to the people who believed in a Judaism religion, they thought it was blaspheme against God to accept Jesus as the Messiah, because they believed he wasn't the one. You know, they even said, how could he be one? That's Mary and Joseph, boy. He's from Nazareth. Has anything ever good came out of Nazareth? You see, he was right in their face, and yet they couldn't believe him, so they couldn't receive him. And Paul believed in Judaism. And Paul was really good at what he did, and his job was to be violent and reckless towards the people who believed in Christ as the Savior. And even in doing all of that, he believed that he was doing God a favor. You see, Paul was serious at his job, and he did everything he could to try to stop the Christianity, because, of course, he was helping God because he felt it was blaspheme. You see, but what happened? You see, Paul met Jesus, and for those who know the story, he was on the road to Damascus, and Paul was so serious about his job. You know, like in the United States, when the draft was out, and the soldiers who didn't want to be drafted, and they would go to Canada because Canada was out of the jurisdiction of the United States, and they would go there because they was, you know, running away from the draft. Well, a lot of Christians in that day would go to another territory that Paul did not have jurisdiction over, and they would be there and they would feel safe. But Paul was so serious about his job till he went to the king and asked the king to grant him, you know, the ability to go after them no matter where they went. And the king did it, and back then the seal was important. He took his ring, he sealed the papers, and Paul was on the road to go get him in a place he didn't have jurisdiction before, but because the king had granted him, he has jurisdiction now. Follow me, y'all. So Paul was on the road to Damascus going to get the Christians that had got out of his range, but now he have a new range. But while he was on that road, he met Jesus. And Jesus asked him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, you know, how do I persecute you? He said, what you do the least of mine, Paul. And he had a talk with Jesus. And Jesus told him about what he wanted to do. You see, and at that time, Paul accepted by his own free will God's master plan for his life. You see, and the rest of the story is history. Now, this is a good example for you to realize, because you see, we have to figure out and we have to establish who God is and who Jesus Christ is to us, to me, to you, to you, to you. Because you see, sometimes all of the teaching and stuff, it has no value, it has no profit, because you maybe not accepted the teaching of the gospel and of the Bible about who God and Jesus Christ is. You see, Paul accepted by his own free will. You see how hard it must have been for Paul, the one who persecuted and prosecuted the Christians for their faith in God, now teaching the word of God to all who would listen. You see, God uses everyone he has created. And y'all got to know that God created us all. None of us created ourselves. There's nobody out there that is man-made. You know how sometimes they say, oh, I'm man-made, you know, there's no one. God created us all, unless you think you believe in evolution. But God is the creator, and he created us all for his glory and divine purpose. You see, in our text, we find Paul writing to the Romans. His persecution or attacks for the name of the Christian. Wait, let me back up. For the name of Christians, or to be called Christians, was considered to be slander by the non-Christians. In other words, what I'm saying, you know, when you were called a Christian, you know, that was like taboo. That was a bad thing to the non-Christians. So people used to hide, and they used to have to duck. They couldn't carry their Bibles. And isn't it amazing that we have the freedom to announce that we have allegiance unto God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. We have a right to read our Bibles, and we have a right to go to church, and yet we don't do it. And those people who was trying to stand up for Jesus was being persecuted, killed, and attacked for it. But isn't that something? You see, contrary to popular belief, the word Christian was not a title that was made up by those who love Christ, but it was made up by those who utterly opposed him. But you see, when they made that word up and they start using it, however, the Christians in that time were not offended, because it associated them with the one who was able to deliver them, to identify it. It identified them with Christ and the anointed one, the Messiah, and the one who died for them and rose for them and is interceding for them right now, if you believe it. You see, Paul was wanting them to know that everything that they experienced in his life, all the struggles, the pain, frustration, heartaches, disappointment, and suffering, that all things will work together for their good. You know, there's a saying that it says, it's all good. And Yolanda Adams had a record out there say, it's already all right now. You see, to believe this, to believe it, it's all right to say it casually, but to believe this, you must know who God is and what he can do. You see, so what I did, I went and got some of the attributes of God that could help you to understand. Because, you know, you might say, you know, Sister Diane, well, what do you mean? You see, there's three characteristics that you, if you could wrap your head around them about God, I think you would be in a place of understanding. You see, the first one says God is omniscient. You see, that means all-knowing. This is the attribute of God by which God perfectly and eternally know all things which can be known. He knows the past, the present, and the future. God knows how best to obtain his desired in us and for us. You know, and I guess it got to start with, you got to realize how much God loved you. You see, didn't he send his son to die for you? How much more? You know, that's love. That's all I can tell you. That's love. You see, he knows what you are capable of doing, each and every one of us. He knows the desires of your heart, each and every one of us. He knows our needs from the beginning until life's end and even through eternity. Yes, he does, if you believe it. You see, he knows everything about you, and he knows everything about you and designed things for you based on those facts. Do you know anybody else can do that? Do you believe it? And you see, one of the another attribute about God, he's omnipresent. You know, that means he's present everywhere at all times. This is the attribute of God, which he fills the universe in all its parts and is present every day, everywhere at once. Not a part, but the whole of God is present in every place. Do you believe it? And see, the other attributes is that he's omnipotent. You see, that is all and unlimited power. He have all power, and he have unlimited power. You see, this is the attribute of God which describes his ability to do whatever he will, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. You see, God has all power in his hand. God's will is only limited by his nature and therefore cannot do anything contrary to his nature as God. So what he can't do, he can't ignore sin. You know, some of us been getting away with sin for a long time and think, you know, God, it doesn't matter. But God cannot ignore sin. Because if he could ignore sin, then he wouldn't have had to send his son to die for our sins. And because he wanted a relationship back with us that had been tarnished in the Garden of Eden when man fell, you know, he sent his son to take the sin so that we could be in fellowship with him. So he cannot ignore sin. He can't commit sin, and he don't lie. You know, this means that if God says something, it will come to pass, and he has the power to make it happen. He has experienced everything. Now this is good. See, he has experienced everything that could possibly be experienced in life. And how can you say he did that if he's in, you know, he's up high and looking low? But those who believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost make one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God himself came down and allowed himself to be wrapped up in flesh in the form of Jesus. So when he walked the earth, he experienced everything that this life had. He was lied on, talked about, you know, wasn't believed, you know, he was spit on, he was beaten, you know, things that life could bring, you know. You see, God rules all things, made all things, and is in control of all things, and is working all things out together for your good. But you have to love, and you have to trust him. You see, when you trust God, it's saying that God knows best. Everything will be okay. Yes, because God is working it out. You know, there's some of us who believe the point that we are right now in life, that we did this on our own. You know, let's just look at it a little bit. And let's just see if we could think about some of the opportunities that we had in life. You know, first of all, you know, if you came from a good family, you should be able to say, thank you, Jesus. Because one of the reasons is when you were born, you didn't get to pick your family. And your family didn't get to pick you. So should any man boast, it's nothing that was done at your hand. Come on now. It's all by God's grace. And you say, well, why me and not why the next person or the other person could say, why not me and why them? Because God does what he wants, but he's working it out. And we have to realize and give God the glory and give him the props that he could do what he wants. But it's still all good. And one thing you have to learn in this life is everything is not for everybody. And you could be content in the state that you're in, because Paul teaches us that, because everything is not going to be the same for everybody. But who may have what you seem like an edge or a jump or anything like that, there's no room to boast because you did not, first of all, make yourself. And if you came from wherever you came from, none of us picked our parents, and none of our parents picked us. But if God have a master plan and he connected those dots, he decided that my parents would be in New Orleans and I would live in New Orleans. Come on now, y'all. And some of the hardships that, you know, I may have experienced in my life helped to make me who I am today. But it's all okay because it's a part of the master plan that was formulated before the foundation of the world. So any man should boast. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you didn't put in some work. But let me tell you this. If God does not give you breath, you will be dead. So it still goes back to God. You might have went to college, but God gave you the strength to go. He opened up your mind that you could learn. So it still go back to God. So how can we live and walk around and be and act like we did it ourselves and God don't have no place in this? And I'm going to tell you, if you don't believe that is God, then you must believe it's something else. So whatever you believe, I hope is loving and I hope it's kind and I hope it could protect you in a time of storm and I hope it could carry you through. Because if it's not God, then what? Because it sure ain't you. You see, and if we look at Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse, and this is one of our scriptures for the night, and this is out the Bible for those who don't have a Bible, and it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The Bible said that. Remember, the Bible was inspired, written by man and expired by God. God got this place in the Bible. He's telling you, this is the Bible is God talking to you, and God is saying right now, we know that all things will work together for the good to them that love the Lord, that love God, to them that are the call according to his purpose. You see, it is important for us to know that we can have the insurance, the blessed assurance in God. You see, many of us don't understand why things happen in our lives. Some of us in the past have had some negative things and extremely hurtful things happen to us, leaving us wonder why would a God who is so just, loving and kind allow such things to happen. You know, God allowed things to happen because sometimes it's your molding process. Sometimes it's your mending process. Sometimes it's your growing process. It's your mature process. God used things to get your attention. God used things to make you think. You see, let's look back. And, it, you know, God doesn't tempt you, but he do test. Because look what happened to Job. And that was only a test. And Job lost everything. But God was working it out for his good. And when it was all over, Job got double for his trouble. So we can't tell God how to operate in our lives. We can't tell God how he should do it or how he shouldn't do it. But when we trust him and we rely on him and we know who he is, we know that it's going to work together for our good. And I don't know if this could be the worst thing could happen, but this week I done seen some horrible things happen. You know, I had a girlfriend of mine that had to bury her husband and her son the same day. Hallelujah. I mean, that's bad. You know what I'm saying? But when I talked to her, and in all her pain, her main concern was that they were saved. Yes, she gonna hurt. Yes, it's gonna be lonesome. But she knew God is going to work it out, and the main thing was that they were saved. Another girlfriend of mine, in the middle of the night, you know, she had an aneurysm burst in her head. Come on now. And she's lying in the hospital right now with a respirator, young woman. And when I look back over her life, it makes me feel real good because I could see her gift in her. And she had a gift to be able to take care of old people. And not just old people, any people. She did it with such grace. She did it with such poise. I never heard her complain. I never heard her say nothing, but she showed up whenever she was needed. Come on now. She truly knew how to love people, and people began to love her. And I don't know what the outcome going to be, but God knows. And for all of us, we know we have an appointed time, and I don't think plenty of people understand that. You know, because I used to look at Dr. Oz, and Dr. Oz used to say, well, then if you eat greens, you know, I'm being hypothetical, if you eat greens 3 times a day, you know, you're going to put 11 years on your life. You know, and then I listen the next day, and he say, if you eat the olive oil, you know, you're going to do this, and you're going to do it. So I had a talk with God. I got on, you know, I just had to go to God with it. And I knew that God was in control, and God has a master plan, and he decides who live and who die. So I couldn't get with that, you know, Dr. Oz could say that it's 14, you know, more years on your life. And you know, I went to God about it, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me just like I'm speaking to y'all. They could not, doing whatever they say, could not put more years on your life. But the quality of life that you have left to live within God's master plan could be better. I say, boom, I got it, I understand. But God is in control. You see, and that's what people, you know, have so many things happen to their life. But let's look at it this way. You see, on the other hand, when some of us look back over our lives and we can't believe or comprehend how much we have gained and how much success we have and how blessed we are. And, you know, deep down inside all of the time, we don't feel like we deserve it. We didn't have all of the ability to even get it. So what you saying? You know, they have people, what they don't, you look at the news, don't they have all these people went to college and got degrees and can't get a job? So you're going to tell me the work that you put in got you there, and they got other people who did just as much work, maybe even more loving and kind than you, and they can't find a job? We better give God the praise. You see, some of it is because of the work you put in, like I said, but it's all about God's grace and his favor, all things through Christ Jesus. You know, and even though we could have been smart, but guess what? We weren't the sharpest tool in the shed. Or we wasn't always trying to please God or always doing everything that we knew was right to do, if we tell the truth. You know, we learn to do well. We learn to be better people as it goes because it's a process. But we weren't always there. But yet God was working it out for your good. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God, and yet God works it out for our good. You must remember that nothing can or will happen unless God orchestrates it or allow it. Nothing can happen, not even Satan. Satan can do so much. But he had to get permission to do certain things to Job. You see, God is the creator of this world, and we are only playing a part with a divine purpose. I want you to understand that God has a divine master plan, and we are watching it each day unfold. Each one of us is in his plan and his will for our lives, but it's up to us to surrender to his will. You ever had things in your life when God was telling you to go east and you went west? When God was telling you to leave something alone and yet you stayed there? I can tell you, you might not want to say, but that was probably the miserablest time in your life. because you may have known what God wanted you to do. You know, some things we have to take in and some things we have to put out. But we decide to stay because of whatever we make up in our head. And I could tell you, it usually leads to misery. You know, because we got to remember this. And I'm trying to get you guys to understand that God is in control. He made us and he's have our best interests at heart, and he's working it out for our good. You know, and I went and I looked at this scripture in Jeremiah. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet in the old days, and God spoke to the prophets concerning his people. And God told the prophet Jeremiah about us, his people. And if he said it to Jeremiah for the people back then, the lesson is still, the word is still good for us. But if you go to Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, this is God speaking. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, how could you lose with what God just said? He said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Now, if this was in the Old Testament time, before Jesus came, you know he was talking about you way before you was even, well, at least before you were born, before you probably was even thought of. But that's sweet. That's how God is. You see, we must be like Jesus. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was faced with the sins of the world, and it was coming upon him because he was getting ready to die and take him with him, and he was feeling all of the agony of pain, and it was so much for him. That's how some of us be with some of the situations going in our life. And even Jesus, being the Son of God, God himself wrapped up in flesh, the incarnated God, even him, because of the pain and the stripes and the misery and the darkness that's in some of our lives, not always by our fault, but there, nevertheless, for whatever reason, Jesus asks God, is there any way to have this done? Can you please take this cup from me? But even after he said it and all he was feeling and how he felt, Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, that's how we have, that's the point we have to come to. With circumstances, situations, trials, adversity, success, you know, and everything in our lives, we have to give it to God. We have to say, not my will, but thy will, God, because let me tell you, you ain't going to have no success. You might have success, but you see, late in the middle of the, late at night, when all everybody's gone and you can't sleep and you're laying in that bed and you ask, what is all of this thing called life about? You know, I don't know if it happened to you, but, you know, it happened to me. And sometimes you wonder just what is, you know, a certain things happen in your life with your family or your friends, and you wonder what this thing is all about. Well, I came to tell you tonight, you'll never know who you are until you know who your maker is. I guarantee you that. You'll never know who you truly are until you know who your maker is. You know, the Bible says that God knows the number of hairs on our head. Now, that's deep. He knows us better than we know ourselves. God knows what it will take to move, stimulate, activate, motivate each one of us. Ultimately, he knows what it will take to get us into the place and position that he would have us. And you see, if you keep not listening to God, You don't know God, you better get with the program, because, you know, he gonna do. You know, when people on drugs and, you know, they say they hit rock bottom and then they come up. Don't have God to have you hit rock bottom. You see, God is working it out in our lives daily by molding us into our intended purpose. You see, God is the creator of all things. And we are just a part of his creation. How could you not respect the creator when you are part of creation? when Job in the Bible began to ask God and question God all about this thing called life, and God listened to him, and if you go to Job in the 38th chapter, it's going to be so sweet to hear. God told Job, he said, I done heard what you're saying, and some of the things that you questioning me about life. You know, that's how sometimes people question God. If God was God, why this, and you know, and all that. God told him, he said, Job, I done listened to you. He said, but, you know, and finish talking. He said, because I'm fixing to answer you now. Have you ever made thunder roll? Have you ever made lightning strike? Have you ever took any body of water, ocean, sea, river, bayou, and made it stay in its boundaries? Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Did you wake up one morning and you gave a command to the sun to come down when the sun is going to be up? Or did you told the moon to come out the sky at night and come out in the day, and you could vice versa, and you could do that? Can you do that? God said, you're not in my league, so give me my respect, and I'm going to respect you, and I'm going to work it out together for you, because I know what you need better than you know what you need yourself. You know, we are designed with a specific purpose that only you can fulfill. You see, you are unique. There are no two of us like you. There's no two. No one can beat you or should beat you at being you. You see, you have to know who you are and what God has for you. Because whatever God has for you, baby, believe me, it's for you. Nobody can take it. How many times opposition has come up against you, maybe on your job, and somebody tried to get you out, but God worked it out for your good? Come on now. Come on now. How many times you've been kind of like, sort of like set up where it could have went any kind of way, where you could have lost something you really needed, but God worked it out for you? And in working it out and being with this and understanding God, you got to remember, everything is not for everybody. Everybody ain't going to be rich. Everybody ain't going to be beautiful. You see, God is a God of variety, and he like all kind. Hallelujah. And that's good for me. Everything is not for everybody. You think they don't have boys on the street that could play basketball like LeBron James or whatever his name is? You think they got somebody who can't pitch a football like Drew Brees, especially like he pitching it now? But everything ain't for everybody. But guess what? This life that we are living in is only a vapor. It's a short time, because the Bible says a thousand years is a day, and a day is a thousand years, but we're going to go to eternity. We have to set our sights on what's going to be and not just what we can see. We got to use our faith eyes, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things yet not seen. See, we don't know eternity, but we're hoping for it. We're pressing for it. We're looking forward to it. Because that's all we have once we close our eyes on this earth. You see, Paul said all things work together. And these two words is in conjunction. And it means a lot of things. You see, it means when he said work together, it means it creates and yet it eliminates. Come on now, you know, with all things working together, this is God. You know, God, with working it out for you, you got to understand, sometimes he create and sometimes he eliminate. Sometimes he place and sometimes he replace. Come on now. Sometimes he connect and sometimes he group it. Sometimes he press it and sometimes he stretch it. Sometimes he move. And then he operates. He controls and he guides. He arranges and influences. And that's what makes God, God. Let us realize that God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. for who he wants, because he's God. You see, God has all power in his hand, and we must remember that. You know, don't forget, there's a season, and when one season is over, another season begins. You know, there's scriptures in the book of Ecclesiastes say there's a time and place for everything under the sun. Do you believe it? You see, we don't know our future. We don't know how the events that happen in our lives will affect us even later. But God knows our beginning as well as our ending. And your end has already, your end was already set before you even began. Am I saying that God, if God's going to make us be all that we're going to be, he made you this, he made me that. I'm not saying that. God had a master plan. And when I talked about omnipresent and omniscient and these words with his attributes, it lets you know that he know all things, he see all things. See, God had vision to the end. So when God looked at your life with everything that you would like and do and become, he made his master plan with that. Not that he controlled you or ordered you to be this or that. Because you got a free moral, you're a free moral agent. He didn't make your way. He made a way for you out of no way when he knew what way you would go. I hope y'all got that. Therefore, God takes all the events in our lives and work them out for our ultimate good. God uses our successes, our failures, and even our life experience to get us to his expected end. You might ask, if God has already established our life totally, then how are we free moral agents? You see, God is all knowing. He knows what we are working with, what we would do or not do, and how would it fit in his master plan. You see, Paul wasn't thinking about God, but God had a plan for Paul. Now, when God went and met Paul, I told you that Paul accepted from his free will. And you said, well, why God picked Paul and not so-and-so? Because that's who he wanted to pick. And Paul was really, really aggressive. Paul was really aggressive doing the things against God, and God knew he would probably be aggressive doing the things towards God. That's how God decides what you're going to do. What are you faithful in? You know, what God know he could use you for? What God know you will show up for every time it's necessary to show up? And that's how God maybe presents the opportunity. Like tonight when I came on the radio, I say, God, thank you for the opportunity. God's presenting opportunities in each and every one of y'all lives, but it's up to you to accept it. And we're going to go ahead and close with this last verse. It's Romans 8:31. And listen what this says. What shall we then say to these things? This is in the Bible, y'all. If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, when I read that, it reminded me of a story of Joseph in the Bible. Y'all know Joseph, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, and in the Old Testament of how God was using all the events in his life to get him where he wanted him to be. You see, Joseph went from the pit to the palace. Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers plotted to kill him. Joseph's brothers was jealous of him and placed him in a pit and left him for dead and lied to their father about his death. But God was with him. Come on now, come on, come on. God was with him. You see, he was removed from the pit and sold into slavery in Egypt. But God was working it out for his good. And yes, God was with him. You see, even as he was a slave, he received a high rank and a powerful position. For 13 years, he lived in the house of Potiphar's and was lied on and placed in prison for 2 of those years. But even then, God was working it out together for his good. And yes, God was with him. He got out of jail because of a gift. Come on now. that God had given him and had placed him in a palace second to the king, because God was working it out. And you see, whatever God has for you to do, he's going to give you the provision. See, he had the gift, and a gift is what got him out of prison. Hallelujah. God gave him a dream that there would be famine in Egypt, and there would be Egypt would only be the only place with a food source. You see, God gave him that because he was working it out, and he was with him. You see, everyone had to go to Egypt for food. Even Joseph's family had ran out of food and had to go to Egypt. See, God had set this up because he's working it out for the good. And when God is working it out for your good, he's working it out the good for others and who you love. And, you know, and it's a part of the creation. And it's to help your neighbors. It's to help everything. Come on now. When they arrived, Joseph recognized them and eventually told them who he was. And they became frightened because they knew what they had did. You see, Joseph told them that everything is okay. The name of the lesson tonight, everything is okay because God is working it out. See, Joseph told him everything is okay because God has worked it out. And what the devil set up for my bad, God turned it around for my good. You see, God had molded him into his intended purpose. And you see, like I said, he went to jail. He was in a pit. See, God used all of that to make him be the man that God wanted him to be to fit in the design purpose that God had designed for him. Watch how God operate. You see, sometimes we have to go through to get to the place where God ultimately wants us. You see, all things work together for the good for them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. And that call is if you accepted Christ and you become the call. So if you haven't accepted Christ in your life, you know, you need to visit it. And if you don't, you don't know your purpose in life, I think you should visit that too. And if God said, and if God said, you can believe it. And this scripture tonight, these two scriptures, was one of God's promises. And if you want God to work it out for you, you must love the Lord and work for him. Work for God, and he will work for you. And watch this. Take care of God's business, and he will take care of yours. Because God is working it out. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody want to make a comment, you know, it would be a good time to just say hello. You know, we went all the way through 2014. I see your numbers night after night. I really know who some of you are. I don't know who others are. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything because I know you're shy. But at this time, you know, we done started a new year, and we are grateful that we came out of 2014. We know everybody didn't. And I see my friends dropping in 2015, but I know God is able, and he is working it out. So if anybody would like to make a comment, I have a concern at this time, or would like to add something to the lesson, you could press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open up the mic. You know, if it's a topic that you would like to have in the future, you could press it and tell us what it is. If you got questions you may not understand, we could look it up together, and we might come to an agreement with it or something like that. But if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on your phone. I have a 1 button press. Caller, your number is 504-355. I've opened your mic and you could
speak. Yeah, how you doing, Ms. Diane? This is Kathy Foxworth. I want to say Happy New Year to you and the rest of the guests that's on the phone on the night tonight. I want to say God bless you for the word. And God bless your listeners for listening to you. And I just want to say a comment to what you were saying about God work it out for you and give you so many opportunities. One of my opportunities, I was broke, didn't know where my next few dollars was coming from. And I made a phone call to one of my employers, and she was just like saying, you know, well, right at this time, it wasn't anything that she could do for me. But anyway, I made a call to one of my other employers for my other job, and she gave me my paycheck 2 days early to help me out. So I had really appreciated that, and I felt that was a blessing because I really didn't know I was going to take it, work it out. I mean, I ended up borrowing from family, but I really don't like to do their friends. But I just really like to stand on my own. So to get that phone call from my employer to help me out 2 days earlier, to me, I felt that was a blessing from the Lord. So I thank you for that message tonight, and I thank my employer for giving me my paycheck 2 days earlier.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah, God works it out, you know, and even if he, and we got to understand that some people believe that if God don't do what they want, if God doesn't do what they want him to do, when they want him to do it, how they want him to do, then he's not God.
Right.
But God is in control. You know, and but he still uses everything for our good. And that's the good part about it. You know, when we ask God for something, we tell him his will. So if he don't get it, it's still okay. And then our time is not God's time. And everything you ask for, you don't need it. And if God trying to mature you, he might try to teach you how to do things different. You know, so God uses all of that for your good. And he is in total control. And we could bank on it. And thank you so much, Sister Kathy Foxworth, for calling in. Anyone else would like to say anything, praise, say Happy New Year's to everybody or anything? Well, right now it's 9:28. I always try to do it exactly 1 hour. And it's now 9:28. No one has pressed the button. No one would like to speak. So at this time, if anyone would like to pray, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If not, I'm going to do the benediction prayer. I know everybody, plenty of people like to listen to the music. I'll start playing the music again. And while the music is playing, if you decide that you wanted to say something, if you press the 1 on your phone, I will pick it up and you can still talk at that time. But right now, since no one wants to pray, we're going to go to the throne of grace again. And then I'm going to play a record. And for those who, you know, have to leave the program, you would have had the benediction prayer. And after that, it's just music going forward, and you can make your decision what you want to do. But here we go. Dear Lord God, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us one more time to come together. Thank you for allowing us to explore your word together. Thank you for each and every person that listened, dear God. And, Lord, I pray that you give each and every one of the people that took time to call in, give them a revelation and illumination which you want them to have from the word that went forth tonight. Heavenly Father, don't let your word come back void and let it achieve what you set it out to accomplish. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you allowed us another year to come back. This is 2015, dear God, and next month it'll be 2 years that you have allowed us to come in fellowship with one another. And all I could do is say thank you, Jesus. I thank you, dear God, for each and every listener that you allowed to call in. And I pray that you are giving them a word for the season. Lord, I thank you. I praise your holy name. I lift up the name of Jesus. I give honor and reverence to you, dear God. And Heavenly Father, if there's someone out there that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, let them ask, what must I do to be saved? Heavenly Father, so that they could be in your kingdom and you could be their God. Heavenly Father, I ask all these blessings and others in Jesus' name. Amen and thank God. It is now 9:31. It's 1 hour and I'm going to play a song. And anyone who want to stay on can listen. For those who have to leave, that was the benediction prayer.
Offering I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart's torn.
Meditate upon the word of God, and I pray that you ask God for illumination and revelation for the word that went forth. All these blessings I ask in Jesus' name. I pray that each and every one of you have a good night, and if the Lord says the same, I'll see you back next Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. God bless you. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.